Now, some of you know that I have walked with you through your worst times. Amen. I have seen some of you at your absolute positively worst. And I've never denied you. Amen? Amen? So on the 25th, when you see me in black and silver paint, spiky hair and two skulls, amen? Is that your pastor? You say, yeah, that's him. Amen? Don't y'all throw me under the bus, because y'all gave me the tickets, all right? And I have always wanted to go to a Raiders game. Come on now. Bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. It's going to take me a second. Amen. Merciful God, we come now to say thank you, Father, for your love, your grace, and your mercy. We thank you, Father, for our message is always delivered from you. Father, calm my heart, my mind, and my soul. Thank you for the goodness of this clergy ministry and the pastor's aides. Thank you, Father, for the loving kindness. Thank you for the blessing that Gilbert Memorial Baptist Church. We thank you for 10 years, Father, through the ups and the downs. We've changed, but we've never kept our eyes off of you. Now, Father, our prayer is simple and always the same. That something be said here, be said, be instilled in the hearts and minds of all your believers as we leave this place, we do something to uplift your kingdom. But Father, if there's one who does not know Jesus Christ and the free pardon of their sins, Father, the song, the word, through a smile, moving them by way of the Holy Spirit to allow them to come down that altar, Father, to receive today. Father, if there's one who has strayed away from the body of God, they're saved, but they just need to return back home. Moving them by way of the Holy Spirit, they come back down and reunite with the body of God. But if there's one, Father, who is searching for a church home, a place to plant their seed and continue their growth, let them find this place acceptable. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. And all God's people said amen, amen, and amen. There is probably something I am forgetting to say, amen. And I ask those who carefully watch after me, if there is something, let me know, amen, before we leave the service. For those of you who have your Bibles, will you please turn to the book of Ephesians, the third chapter. Now, if you don't have your Bible, that's okay. Just kind of sit and listen. Ephesians, the third chapter, starting at the 14th verse. Again, if you don't have it, don't rush. I'll have time to get you there, amen. And the Word of God says this: For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you might be strengthened in your inner being, power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, so that you may be fill with all the fullness of God. The word of God for the people of God. May it feed God's sheep. Amen. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, has blessed us, church, in these verses. We should all be humbled by the fact that thousands of years ago, somebody was praying for you and me. Come on, I just read it to you in those verses. Amen? How many of you know that you are here today because somebody prayed for you? Amen. It might have been a mother's prayer. It might have been a father's prayer. A few of you, like me, had a praying grandmother. Some of you can remember being small and hearing your granddaddy call on the name of the Lord. Church folk, I say church folk, how many of you have been grabbed by that sanctified aunt who used to wear the big hat? Come on, somebody. She cornered you, and 20 minutes later, she was still invoking the presence of the God in your life. Somebody ought to be glad that somebody was praying for them. Somebody ought to be glad that prayer can change your situation around. In a world that seems to be moving away from the Lord, we need a few folk who understand that the Lord is listening. It is about 64 AD, and Paul is under house arrest in Rome. He has received a report from his servants that the congregation at Ephesus is doing quite well. There is much to be thankful for. So Paul takes upon himself to engage in writing them a letter. But not just any letter, a letter of encouragement. Pilgrims, I tell you today that sometimes, every now and then, you need to say something to encourage someone along the way. We don't have much of that these days. We are quick to tell people what they've done wrong, but slow to lift them up. Our world, our country, our state, our community, our homes, our churches, our families need to be encouraged. For those of you who have the blinders on, I need to tell you, it only appears that evil is winning. But if you read your Bible like I read my Bible, we know how this story will end. Come on, somebody. It tells us over in Revelation that Jesus just speaks the word and evil must yield. Revelation tells us that Jesus speaks and the darkness must leave. Revelation tells us that Jesus speaks and chains have to be broken. Somebody needs to hear a word of encouragement today. But this bleakness in the world should not give us pause. This bleakness in the world should bring us together as individuals. Because individual effort does change things. But can you imagine if we pull together as a family of God in Christ, just how much we could do together? Now, don't get me wrong. The word says that one man prayed and it stopped raining for 7 years. The word of God says that one man prayed and the sun stood still. My Bible tells me that one woman prayed and showed courage, and she was able to save a nation. Can you imagine what would happen if all of us who believe could unite as one family to pray to enact change in our world, in our churches, and in our community? Does anybody believe in the power of prayer? We need to stop playing with God. Some of you just clapped your hands, but you don't really believe. You don't really feel it in your soul like Paul did. But if I just increase my prayer life, that change can really happen in the world. You must believe. You must believe with just that faith the size of a mustard seed that you and your prayers can make a difference in the world. How many of you believe that prayer changes things? Why must I believe, Pastor? Well, how many of you place your faith in Jesus the Christ? Come on, somebody raise your hands for me. Amen. And how many of you, at least in theory, are trying to be more like Christ? Come on, somebody. Then when I check my Bible, it says that Christ believed in prayer. He was always going off somewhere to pray, either by himself or with a group of people. And nobody in this room can deny that he changed the world. Well, this is the message from Paul. This is the message that Paul was trying to relate to the Ephesians. Somebody say if. If you can, in your heart and minds, believe that we as a unified people, if you would have the world unite under the banner of Christ, if you can call upon your families to get on their knees together, if you can just find a few people at work who want to pray together, if you can just instill in somebody that if we unite in prayer, God can do all things through us. If you open up your Bibles, if you just open up your Bibles, I want you to know that we can change the world. Paul was telling them way back when that if you just keep on praying like I am praying for you, then our world, our community, our state, our churches, our family, all of them can be changed in a way that glorifies God. If you want others to do better, then we have got to do better. If we want others to be more tender, then we have to be more tender. If we want more love, mercy, and grace, Paul tells them, and hope in the world, then we must show more mercy, offer more grace, and have more hope. We can't accept more from others than we expect from ourselves. If we want more peace, be ready to offer more peace. If you want more peace, then we can't just want to bust somebody in the lip every time they say something that disturbs our spirit. Come on, somebody. You're looking at me like I'm crazy. But you know you ready to jack someone up just for bumping into you. But you got that big old cross around your neck. They cut you off. And you want to put up one of those fingers. But you got the palms hanging from your rearview mirror.
Come on, somebody. If we want the world to change, Paul says that we have got to pray change into effect. If, beloved, along your Christian walk, you bump into somebody who doesn't want to move forward, you leave them right there and you move forward. Why? Because the God that's with you moving forward is the God that's with them right where they are. If we want this to be a better place for our kids, then we have got to trust that God is listening. Listen, promise yourself and God today that when you go home, you're going to read the entire book of Ephesians. It's only 7 chapters long. But it's a book that talks about how we can unify ourselves in prayer, in faith, and behavior that centers on Christ. Chapter 4 of Ephesians will talk to you about the concept of us uniting as a body and living together in peace. If you read it for yourself, you will see that Paul tells them, you are joined together with peace through the Spirit of God. He tells them that we should always walk humbly, be gentle, be patient, and accepting of one another in love. Can somebody say in love? In chapter 5, he tells them that the relationship within the family, our families, church, work, social, it doesn't matter. If you call it family, then that relationship is built on the same relationship that Christ has with the church. Everyone in the family has a responsibility. Amen? Amen. Go ahead and read it for yourselves. Wives, you got to respect your husbands. Husband, love and cherish your wives. Children, obey your parents. Mothers, provide for the household. Fathers, don't cause your children to be angry, but teach them and train them in the Lord. And sons and daughters, you are to honor thy mother and thy father. If you're family, you got a place. But Paul tells them that in the very end, peace comes from being united. He says in the word, keep peace and love with faith in Jesus the Christ. Paul tells the Ephesians that he prayed, that he got down on his knees and he prayed to the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth has its true name. No, I want that to sink in. Black, white, Asian, Hispanic, don't matter. God is the author and the finisher of our faith. Rich, poor, in between, don't matter. It all comes from one Father. And if we understand that we all have the same Father, then we understand that we are all family. And Paul prays, and he says, I pray for you, not them, but you. And when you read the Word of God, you can't get around the word you. You will read that Paul is praying for you, that the family of believers should be strong in the spirit and have strength in God. He tells them and he tells us that prayer should live in your hearts, not by your own will, but by faith. That your life will be strong in love, and that your life should be built on love. In short, Paul tells them that I need to tell you, Christian family, We have to build a life that is built on love. Now, here is where the rubber meets the road. If we want to strive to get rid of some of the darkness and the loneliness in the world, then we have got to teach the world about Christ. If we want to build a life, a church, a nation, and our own Christian family, it has to be built on love. Why? Because Paul tells the Ephesians, as I tell you today, that Christ is the head of this church family. He is the head of our families here and at home. And Paul tells them, and he tells us, that no greater love was that Christ showed for his family. Paul tells the Ephesians that we must show our families, no matter where they are, the same love that Christ showed for us. He says in the text that Christ's love is, was, and will always be too wide for us to imagine, too high for us to understand, too deep for us to comprehend. No, you don't understand the depth that Paul was trying to show them, that Christ loves you and I. No. You don't get it. Paul understood, but I need for you to understand now that in his angelic form, Christ was in the presence of the Lord. That he was the angel of the Lord who walked in front of God both day and night. And by his own free will, when called upon, he left the very presence of glory. He left the Shekinah love of God to come to this dirt ball, to take on mortal flesh, to be separated from his Father. I don't know about you, but I'm trying to get into the presence of the Lord, not leave it. And he left that. He left that because he loves you. Come on, somebody. Somebody needs to be giving the Lord a hand clap of praise right there. Can you contemplate leaving the very side of God to be born freely in a world full of sin, to stand in your place, to go to trial for you, to receive the punishment that should have been yours? He did not flinch when they beat him. He did not cry when they called on everything but a child of God. Broken, bruised, he remembered just how much you meant to him. He paid the price. And when they hung him high, stretched him wide, he said, Father, in thy hands I commend my spirit, and it is finished, all because he loved you, somebody. But we don't fully see the full magnitude of God's love for us. He stayed in that tomb 3 days. Got up the next day with all, 3 days later, with all power in his hands. Walked around this world for us just a few days to let us know that he was real and risen from the dead. But my Bible tells me that after the end of his journey, he left his place and went back home to be in the presence of God one more time. You see, you don't get this. God's love through Jesus Christ is more abundant than you ever can imagine. Why? Because he left glory once to save you. But he's going to leave glory one more time to come back and get you. Somebody needs to say, that's love. I may leave the presence of God once, But to leave him twice, somebody needs to say, that's love. When I was down and out, he came in. That's love. When I had no friends, he showed up. That's love. But most of all, he's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming back again. That's love. As we stand on our feet, come on. If I haven't convinced you that prayer changes things, that you have a right to receive everything that God wants to give you, that Christ's love for you is more than you can ever imagine. Paul prayed for you thousands of years ago that your lives would be strengthened in Christ through faith, that his love would burn so deep within you that you would understand the magnitude of how God wants you. If you do not know Jesus Christ and the free pardon of your sins, the deacons are coming up the aisle. Just reach out. Listen, he loves you, and he does not want you to be left behind. But Christ is going to leave glory for a second time to come back for you and I. Come on, somebody. Amen. Be here to receive him. Is there one? Is there one? Man, woman, boy, or girl? Amen. As the deacons return, maybe you are saved, but you've just been out in the world. Amen. We have something here called a Philemon letter. Come on. This may not be the church. We're not asking you to join. We're just asking you to reconnect to the body. Somebody give God a hand. Come on. Somebody. Come on. I need some more. Come on. We'll send you back to your home church with a letter that says you came. Amen. And that they should open up their arms for you. Somebody, come on. The angels are praising. You praise them. Maybe there's one who needs a church home. Amen. When you get home, open up Ephesians. Read it for yourself. I didn't stray from the left or the right. I kept you right in the Word of God. If you need a Bible preaching, Bible teaching church, we'd love to have you here. Is there one? One for membership? Man, woman, boy, or girl? Amen. If for some particular reason you are a student here, amen, and you're only here for a small or short period of time, my deacons told me I keep forgetting to offer that we have something called watch care. Amen. If you're only in the city for a short period, we'd love for you to call this home, away from home. Is there one? Is there one? Come on, give God a hand clap of praise. We're almost done.